Phil and I were both lost New Yorkers washed up in Puerto Rico in the mid-80s. Him coaching, me translating for the US government on projects around election, quote unquote, safety. Neither of us wanted to do Club Med Pura Vida stuff while we lived there. We wanted the real Isabela experience and to live like locals. So naturally, we met drinking at our local bar. I imagine Phil must have liked being anonymous in Puerto Rico. But my dad is a huge Knicks fan, so I knew who he was. What surprised me was how much we had in common. We loved motorcycles, the outdoors. We both were raised extremely religious. Me, a Catholic Dominican in Queens. Him, Pentecostal and bumblefuck. Broke with it and came back to Christian spirituality on our own terms. We started meeting up for drinks more and more often. Trading books and ideas and jokes. I gave him a pair of better hiking shoes. Soon we called each other between drinks to debrief on the records we'd lent each other or to recommend where to eat American style burgers. It was intoxicating to be in this foreign place and have someone who saw me so completely. And I imagine Phil was spending his days barking orders at Puerto Rican 21-year-olds to run faster, felt the same way. Once we tired of the town bars, Phil and I started getting drunker and drunker at his house. I could tell that my place made him uncomfortable with my messes and crumbs and typewriters and Georgia the talking parakeet. He'd wait for me on his front porch, reading spiritual nonfiction and rolling a blunt. Diego, my man. At that time, he was greeting everyone with a small bow. I'd take off my topsiders to go inside. Phil would cook me a simple dinner, steak or fish seared in a pan, and we'd talk about how he might connect with his players better, and life as strangers in a strange land. He'd show off the stuff he was using for his self-education, a new sound system from Japan to really hear new dimensions of music, a self-improvement cassette series, hand weights, cooking gadgets, and heavy photography books shipped from Germany. I was impressed by all of it, but also tried to avoid using it all as beer coasters. We drank and drank as an excuse to let our guards down and openly emote. I knew I was gay, and I was terrified to be out in Latin America, but to this day, I don't know why Phil drank with me like that. Phil liked to put on music that reminded him of the States that we would listen to on the couch together like we were teenagers. Lots of Grateful Dead. Sometimes I'd have to slip off to the bathroom to jerk off. Did he notice? We'd skinny dip in our neighbors' pools and try local pharmaceuticals that allowed us to stay up all night reading. We were doing teen shit like this on weeknights, testing each other's boundaries, then going to our jobs the next day. Nothing to see here, just dos amigos. One night before he headed out on the road with the Gallitos for a couple weeks, Phil and I finally ended up in bed together. I was too drunk to appreciate or even remember much. I'd fantasized about being fucked by a smart, empathetic, and hairy man for a long time, and finally, when it happened, it wasn't what I'd stacked it up to be. Phil escalated things quickly, without eye contact or lingering. There were no bells or whistles or tongue, and none of the connection I'd felt building months prior. Seemed to be the novelty of fucking me that turned him on rather than my body or our chemistry, because he wasn't hard, and all of a sudden he was, and then he spat in his hand and was inside me, pulling my hair and saying nothing. Phil didn't tell me when he came or where, but surprisingly, he did want to cuddle with me afterwards. "I'm the little spoon," Phil told me, and I pressed myself into him and transferred my warmth into his back. We stewed in the silence. I wasn't sure which other parts of his body, pale and freckled and sunburnt on the shoulders, I had permission to touch. After so many months of easy conversation, who would break the silence first? "I just ruined things between us," Phil said, staring at the wall. "We both messed up," I said, "and it makes sense. It's not uncomplicated between us, between men, the way men need each other." still laughed. Not in the way you'd want someone who just fucked you to laugh. It's all me. I'm terrible. I'm irrelevant. I can't even play basketball, and I'm coaching. Ha! Watching these people live out the body's best years with no respect for the game. What makes it deep? What makes it a right? I hate this. I don't feel in touch with my body or with the times. I need to blow everything up. I guess last night I just did. Phil dug himself more tightly into me, and I hugged him while he cried himself to sleep. I stirred again and again during the night. Phil slept through everything. I left him to go to work the next morning.